Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
Now, we welcome to the bunker a very longtime friend of ours, Al Murray, the assistant general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Your Lightning won last night, Al.
How about that?
Hockey is the toughest sport for the top team to win the championship. Because we really have had high expectations for about 5 years now. We've been to one Stanley Cup final. We've been to two other Eastern Conference finals. And I think that's the expectation of everybody in the organization. Anything less than Stanley Cup will be disappointing for us this year.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
He called it. He called his shot. Al Murray.
I know.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the RP Show. I don't know how this happened again. I'm all tangled and ensnared in my headphone cord again. Ever since I stopped asking you to do it.
Yeah.
That's when the problem started.
That's right. And you're surprised.
Yeah, I know, but we'll get through it. No. That was Al Murray in the intro, the head scout of the Tampa Bay Lightning. And there he called. He's Babe Ruth. We're going to win the Stanley Cup. And lo and behold, they did. Oh, you know what? It came undone.
No, that's not why. Even clipped.
She's come undone. Okay. What a big day today. We're going to run the gamut. We got a lot of interesting things to get to. We've got some great guests. Peter Lombardius is watching already in Calgary. Lou is ready to go. He's right on the snide, and he's watching the warm-up right now for the Four Seasons Sports Palace, your home for the NFL. Lou coming up in Block 2 today. Brian Snow from Snowman in the Morning in Raleigh, North Carolina, is going to be joining us to talk NFL. And Rod Black in Hour 2 when we go to Game Plus Television, live TV in all 10 provinces and 31 states. Rod Black is a must-follow on TSN. He just drops these very interesting little factoids and, so obviously Raptors are going to be the focus with Rod Black, but maybe we'll talk about a little CFL. But it's a very big show with guests today. But before we go any further, let's hit the quick six show topics, please. Director Jordan. Thank you. Point one, I don't know about you, but I was into the Alabama-OSU game last night. It's interesting. The Crimson Tide knocked off the Buckeyes 52-24. I don't know how good you are at math, Darren. You're in broadcasting, so probably not real good. Do you know what 52-24 add up to?
One over the over-under. I saw that. Isn't that incredible?
We said yesterday, take the over. 75 points, they scored 76. These odds makers, they just blow my mind with how on point they are with these things.
I know, and I'm going back and forth in the DMs with some of our P1s at halftime saying, you really took the under on this game, right? At halftime, yeah. It looked like it was going to be blown out, and then they slowed down a little bit as the lead got out of control, but...
Yeah, well, and the game itself was okay. I watched the first little bit of it. I didn't stay for it all. My God, it was over 4 hours long.
I know.
But there was touchdowns. Boom, boom, boom. It looked like a track meet, and I'm like, yep, this is typical college football from two great programs. And then by halftime, it was over, and the Crimson Tide rolled. So again, another championship for Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide. But point two, have you seen the video? I assume some of you have. There's been millions of views already. Crimson Tide fans taking to the streets in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Tens of thousands of fans taking to the streets. And I probably should have said to Clark, I don't even know if Clark can find it to roll on the video of the program here today. But how does that make you feel? Because there's very interesting comments coming out about the fact that there were 14,000 in the stadium last night. How is that allowed? And then these people were packed like sardines walking through the streets of Tuscaloosa last night. And I guess my point when I ask you how you feel, and I'm going to ask you how you feel, and I'll wind it up with my own thoughts. I saw one guy put on Twitter, well, if they're not going to obey COVID controls, screw it. I'm not. What am I going to do by staying home when there's tens of thousands of people roaming the streets? So that's his take. I'd like to know yours. And what's yours when you see something?
I go back to Ed Reed, when he talked about the Ravens on the logo. Two wrongs don't make a right. So they did it. So screw it. I'm going to do it. That doesn't fly. That doesn't work ever. So don't abide by that theory. 14,000 in the stadium, I got no problems. You can control that, ushers and whatnot, and they're doing it in the NFL, social distancing and with your group and all that kind of stuff. And that's been really great. We haven't heard that getting out of control. So I like getting people in the stadium. Yeah, I don't like everybody flooding the streets after a national championship. I know you can't control it, but it's Alabama, guys. You're going to win another one.
Well,
it's not like it's a once in a lifetime.
Their dominance is admirable. And their fans' pride is even more so admirable. They want to win, and it's not a matter of whether we're going to win. It's by how much.
Yeah.
And there's something to that. Rob Seaton writes in. He says, good morning, all. Congrats on Cam Moon moving on to the Oilers. Our good and longtime friend Cam Shaft, longtime voice of the Red Deer Rebels since 1998, named yesterday the radio voice of the Edmonton Oilers. I talked to Cam. You can imagine his thoughts. He's an Edmonton boy. Is it St. Albert or Sherwood Park? I always get St. Albert is where he's from because he's got the St. Albert strut. Everybody from St. Albert has that cocky walk in them. And Cam's one. And I had said to Clark, let's get Cam on as soon as possible to talk about the role, talk about the Oilers. And it's great to have friends in high places.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, yeah, thanks, Rob, for pointing that out. Everybody's writing in with their comments, but you know what? This is my time. This is the quick six. So just hang on. I'll get to your thoughts on other things in a moment. Point three, the NHL.com power rankings are out. I was a little disappointed, but then upon further review, I realized why they only went to the top 16 teams. Because I was expecting to see 1 through 31. But they don't because it's a team-mandated website. We can't make anybody look bad. We can't hurt any feelings. So here's the top 16 teams. The rest of them can fight it out amongst themselves. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly.
We can't have the bottom team. On the league website, we can't have the bottom 15. We're going to piss somebody off. So the top 16 are on NHL.com. I wrote down the top five. You may or may not agree with these, but number one, Tampa Bay. Number two, Colorado. Number three, the Vegas Golden Knights. Number four, the St. Louis Blues. And five, the Philadelphia Flyers. I think there will be a lot of arguments from people around that. But so for the bottom five, because I went and searched. I'm like, where's the they cut this off at 16? So I went to some blog, just Googled, worst NHL team 2021. And what came up was some like getting pucks deep blog or something like that. So here's their last five, beginning with the Ruby Rottenest, 31 and then 30, 29, 28, 27. Okay.
Yeah.
The Detroit Red Wings are supposed to just stank Detroit. And then this hurt me a little bit. The Anaheim Ducks,
ooh,
30th.
Ooh.
LA Kings, 29th. I would have thought that by now the Southern California would have figured this out, but the rankings say no. So they got to go do their talking on the ice. And then the fourth worst teams, the Ottawa Senators, and then the Chicago Blackhawks. And I saw the head coach of the Sens, DJ, on the on SportsCenter. He's very optimistic. And I realized, wait, nobody's lost yet. That's why everybody's optimistic.
Everybody's optimistic. We're all undefeated.
Yeah. It's not like, and I'll say this again, Todd McClellan, who just seems to be a magnet for crappy hockey teams, when he was at the podium for the Edmonton Oilers, it was just seemed like he'd been up all night. He's stressed. You know what I mean?
Chain smoking.
That's what I mean. Yeah. That's Todd McClellan, and now he's got the LA Kings, and it might be the same thing. But I might add, when the season was called last year, Todd had the Kings on a 7-game win streak. Nobody remembers that.
Right. I would print that off, and that would be on my owner's desk or the president of the hockey team's desk. Your expectations are so low. So it's like, look at this is where they predicted, and we finished two spots better than that.
Yep.
So when you miss the playoffs, make sure you have this ready to go.
So the NHL begins tomorrow night. I wanted to get the top five in. And Clark said, hey, that might be a decent feature moving forward. The top five and the bottom five of the NHL. We'll go one day at a time, but I like it too.
Yeah.
Point four, the Philadelphia Eagles fire Doug Peterson. We've got a lot of Eagles fans that watch this show. This show's on cable television in Philadelphia, so we got that Philly thing happening here. So I've been following the Eagles, and Todd Pinkney that texted me right after the show. He said, Doug Peterson fired. And I'm like, what? What a clown show. And let's just remember, you never really know what's going on inside an organization. We're all only going by the media coverage. But it looked like it hurt the owner of the Eagles, Jeffrey Loria, to fire Doug Peterson 3 years after winning a Super Bowl. But this is a case of, I don't think this is fake news, it was either the quarterback or the coach.
Been there.
No, we've seen it. It's a tale as old as time. Quarterback or coach, and who usually wins? The player. Quite often,
yeah,
the player.
Not in my time. It was Jeff Fisher or Vince Young in Tennessee.
How'd that work out for both?
Bud Adams sided with Jeff Fisher because he had been there forever, and there was the relationship. It didn't work out. Didn't work out for the Titans. Didn't work out for Vince Young. That was a mistake. This, it's Carson Wentz, and he's going to stay. But if he leaves, if they got rid of him, it would be the biggest dead cap hit, $50 million. In the history of the NFL, they got Alshon Jeffrey at $18 million. They got some problems. I was talking to one of my Eagle friends this morning, and they got a lot of rebuilding to do, but it sounds like it's going to be with Carson Wentz.
Fastest 20 minutes in sports, the warm-up here for the Four Seasons. We're covering it all. Jeff, the Stamps fan in Calgary, writes in, Kings, Blackhawks, Eagles, how the mighty have fallen. Throw the Patriots in there. I mean, any of these teams that stay on top for so long, you really wonder how they're doing it, but nobody stays on top forever. And we're not really going to get into Bill Belichick turning down the, the Medal of Freedom, Freedom Medal from President Donald Trump. Those two deserve each other. You know, the whole thing just stinks.
Yeah.
And that's why we have made it our mandate to stay out of politics here. I see the comments are going off like a slot machine, so that's good. Point five, Raptors lose in Portland last night, 112-111. They're now 2-8, and I'm starting to think they're not making the playoffs.
I know.
They're not making the playoffs! But Rod Black will join us in hour two to talk about all of that. You know that he's going to be captain positive.
That's the right? That's the one thing. If you do think, and I was talking to the guys from our friends that come on, if you do think that the Raptors are better than their record, go buy them now. Because you're going to get them at a pretty good value.
Mm-hmm.
Buy them as a playoff team. Buy them as a conference champion. Because you won't have to spend a lot of money on them because everybody's writing them off.
I want to mention, you all know that we have been broadcasting on Facebook Live since day one, 398 episodes ago. But we're on YouTube Live over the past, 3 weeks? YouTube Live right now. Download the app or go to the website. It's pretty slick. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just discovered it on my smartphone the other day, or smart TV. It's, I love it. Point six, some CFL notes. One, Willie Jefferson has restructured his deal with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. It's very interesting how the CFL has reframed everything. In the 90s, for those of you old enough to remember, it was pay cuts. The front news of the Leader Post or the Winnipeg Free Press was team player A agrees to a pay cut. Now they're calling it a restructuring, but it's the same thing. It's a crisis situation for the Canadian Football League, just like we saw them in 25 years ago. Language is a big thing. We talk about that in the recovery business all the time. Language is very important in shaping just where your mind goes with things. It makes CFL fans think, well, things aren't that bad. They've just restructured the deal, and they're going to play. And I was going a little deeper on this morning, brushing my teeth, and I'm like, there's a lot of pressure on the CFL to play, and I'm not sure they're entirely aware of it. If they are or aren't, they're not saying. They're not doing any interviews. But you look at the NHL selling. Like, you got Batman there yesterday answering all the questions, right? Why are you playing? Well, we think we should play because we owe it to the public to play. But we'd save less money if we didn't play. And in my mind, I immediately thought, that's why the CFL's not playing. Right? It'd be cheaper not to play. With regards to the helmet decals, sponsor ads, the sponsorship of the divisions, they're doing this to pay the players in the NHL. They're finding a way. They're being creative. This is what I've been saying for months. If the CFL really wanted to play, they'd be creative. They'd find sponsorship of the divisions, put the more ads on the jerseys and ads on the helmets. But we don't know what they're doing. So my point is, because I'm talking to the coaches all the time. I told you about some of the texts I got yesterday from CFL coaches. The coaches know what they're doing. The football guys have always known what they're doing. It's the business guys and girls in the CFL that people are, I wouldn't say they've lost faith in, but each passing day that goes by, that we don't hear some sort of concrete announcement as to how they're going to play without fans, the light just goes off one by one in people, right? Because you're seeing other leagues get creative to play. Fair?
Absolutely. When you don't get a, yeah, when you're not getting that text message, or you're not getting that phone call, right? Or you're not getting that DM, you start to forget about people, right? They're not interested.
Yeah.
But moving on, right? To the people who are giving me attention, which is the other leagues. And it's funny you talk about, you know, restructuring. I mean, that is marketing 101, right? Pay cut, restructuring, whatever the flavor of the day is. I mean, we see that in marketing all the time. It's fat-free, sugar-free. Now it's gluten-free. There was never gluten in maple syrup, ever. But now they got it on the logo because it's the flavor of the day. Well, it's the same thing.
Twizzler packages at the movies. No nuts.
Yeah.
Well, no kidding.
Peanut-free. Yeah, exactly.
Obviously. So, and yeah.
But restructuring.
They didn't take pay cuts. Yeah. It's compensation adjustments. Oh, thank God. That feels so much better to my bank account. So anyways, major pressure to the CFL to play. And Kelly Bale, one of our viewers, CFL fan engagement is essentially a 1 out of 10 for the last 10 months. I know, and that's like late last week. I'm thinking of putting together my 10 things column, and I'm like, I could start calling agents and sending texts and my guys with the team. I just don't. Pilot light's going out in me, you know, because there's so much other interesting things going on, which I got to move on here. But NFL, the Natty, the college football,
yeah.
Steve Sarkisian playing last night.
He was dialed in.
Yeah. Evander Kane, it's been released. He came out yesterday from The Athletic, $26 to $28 million in debt, and he's filed for bankruptcy. Like, was it you or Clark said, you got to talk about that in this.
Yeah, me.
What? You can't fix stupid. Like, and in my mind, I'm thinking, where's his parents? In my mind, I'm thinking, where's his agent? And then I thought, you know what? He's a grown-ass man. He's made millions. You can't point the finger in this situation. What is there to say?
I know.
Colossal stupidity.
Now you know why he's trying to fight Jake Paul. Right. And trying to get on Twitter, you know, that one big payday to get out from underneath. You know, I wonder, and I get scared for the guy. You know, if you owe $2.5 million to a Las Vegas bookie or a casino,
yeah.
Like you'd be worried. Right. You know, you can't skate with no toes, you know. And then I start thinking about, you know, what is the teammates and what does the organizations think that he's played with? You know, when he's standing on the rooftop with stacks of cash
yeah.
like this. Right. And
do it with fake money.
Do it with fake money.
They got all kinds of fake money in billions.
Did he just drop it off the roof?
Yeah.
Like, it's hard, but you feel for a guy, but they don't know how to deal with all of a sudden you're flush
yeah.
more than you could ever imagine.
We're running out of time. We'll get to the poll question. What's your game of the week in the NFL divisional playoffs this weekend? Is it Rams, Packers, Ravens, Bills, Browns, Chiefs, or Bucks, Saints? For me, it's Bucks, Saints for Tom Brady and Tampa. What's one answer? What is it?
One, Bills.
Two, Bills, the Bills game. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
For Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. This has been the warm-up for Four Seasons Sports Palace. Peter Labardius in next. And then the Snowman, Brian Snow from Snowman in the Morning in North Carolina. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV. And now, daily on YouTube Live and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Welcome back, everybody. And I got to say, Lou's been waiting for a while, and I'm going to bring in his participation here, but yes! What did I say? We haven't had texts from our American viewers for some time. I'm like, yep. Where are they? You know we're on the air down there. Dave in Biloxi Beach, Mississippi has texted in from the 228.
Hey.
And he wants to know, what are your thoughts on the Nashville Preds? Why the continual underachievement? He's watching on Game Plus TV down there in Biloxi Beach, Mississippi, where I wish I was right now. And maybe we'll open with that with Peter Labardius, the longtime Calgary Flames color commentator. And Lou, by the way, Happy New Year. Don't believe we've...
Yeah, same to you.
Yeah, talked about that. But here's my thing with the Preds. It didn't seem that long ago that they were in a conference final against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Maybe it was longer than their fans would like. I think they're going to be in the thick of it. They were in a play-in round series against Arizona last year. They're not that bad perennial underachievers, are they, Nashville?
No, Rod, I don't think they are. However, it has been a significant drop-off since that appearance in the Stanley Cup Final, which in some ways seems like yesterday, in other ways seems like 100 years ago. The bottom line is the competition level in the league is enormous. And in Nashville, they have really prided themselves on a fabulous defense, great goaltending. Pekka is certainly nearing the end, if not at the end. They're trying to pave the way for UC Saros, and he looks like he's on the way, but still unproven as far as that level is concerned. And the fact of the matter is, you know, they made a significant deal when they went out and acquired Ryan Johansson and moved Seth Jones to Columbus. And outside of the first playoff, and I'm not putting it all on one guy. I love Ryan. In fact, we have a great, great relationship. He's one of the guys in the league that I look forward to seeing every time, you know, he has come to Calgary in the past. But at a certain point in time, you know, you build your group, you try your best, and the framework of the league and the cap, you can't keep guys together now forever. And on the fly, you kind of have to retool a little bit and decide at the end of the day, you know, here's my line, guys. If you are going to marry someone long-term, more often than not, you need to get it right. And when you don't, now there's going to be retooling and rebuilding and restructuring.
Lou, are we talking real life or hockey here?
Both.
That's what I thought. You and I have experience. We've got experience right in that, Rob. Yeah. Well, I appreciate the question from the guy in Biloxi Beach, Mississippi, and I'm
absolutely
sure you do. Yeah, you do too. But I could see how a Predators fan would be getting a little antsy because it just doesn't seem that they're trending right. But anyways, Lou, too. So you and I talk about, over the years, about how fans, they're antsy, right? And they got to pay a lot for tickets. They got to pay a lot for merchandise. They want a winner. Well, it would appear in Calgary you do. I'm clinging to the fact that I got the Flames number one in the Scotia division, the North division. Are they the best in Canada? What do you think?
I'm not sure they're the best in Canada, Rod. The one thing that I would say to you is I'm not a big prediction maker. I never will be. I don't want to be. It only puts you in a bad spot. However, I will contend that in all the time I've been around Calgary, whether it was as a play-by-play guy on TV or now, you know, in year whatever the heck this is, doing color on the radio, it's the deepest group that I have seen from top to bottom. You know, they've had a restructuring. I think the move with Lindholm and a pairing with Matthew Tkachuk has really changed their whole forward group. Add to the mix Josh Levo, Dominic Simone, Joachim Nordstrom, the emerging types of Dylan Dubé and Andrew Mangiapane. This now, to me, with a pretty solid back end, is a pretty good team. A pretty good team. Are they the best in the Canadian or Scotia North division? I don't know. I will say that it will be incredibly disappointing if they don't find their way into the Final Four and make the playoffs. But I also see it as a division that is incredibly, incredibly competitive. And I don't see a lot of difference between a number of teams. Guys, I'd probably say, you know, talent-wise, and talent doesn't always win, we know that, the Toronto Maple Leafs might have an edge in that category, but every team, even the best teams, everybody in the division, guys, I think has some holes. So we'll see where it goes.
People are feeling fun and punchy today. I like it. Jamie Neugebauer has written in the voice of the Notre Dame Hounds, and he wants to know if you think, Lou, the Tkachuk brothers will kill each other this year, Matthew and Brady. What do you know about their relationship? They're going to be playing each other more than ever. What's that rivalry going to be like on the ice?
Here's what I will tell you. Walt, who is Keith, the dad, probably would be okay with that. Mom, who's the Canadian glue of the family, as I like to call her, and just a beautiful human, I don't think she's all that fond of those two. Now, by their nature, I don't think that they can probably help themselves. But, you know, even in their brief meetings in the National Hockey League, there certainly hasn't been anything yet. I think there's a bit of a family code, but on the other hand, we know what competition is, and those guys are incredibly competitive. So when you play somebody nine times and you're going to be on the ice against one another a lot, I do know this. Older brother will truly want to show that he's still a little better than younger brother. So that it may not be in the fisticuff department, but there's a lot of competition there for sure.
You know, it's interesting, Lou. It's so much fun to be sitting here talking about these things compared to what we've been through as a society in the last 10 months, and I know you agree. And I want to hear from our American viewers, and it's interesting that they're texting us on the Prairie Mobile text line because they're watching on cable television in the States. And here in the Bermuda Triangle of the NHL, I call it, we're right, as you know, in the trapezoid of Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton. We're deluged by coverage of those teams, and then by extension, the other four Canadian teams. We don't hear a lot about the American teams, but I will say this. Colorado is everybody's favorite.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you get tingles when you think about Avalanche Flames games?
I'm hoping to see some. However, I think we know what has to happen. That would have to happen in, playoffs? A semifinal, a conference final type scenario before they're going to play a single game. The Colorado Avalanche have been built brilliantly. You know, we see more great potential people on the road from the World Junior, Bowen Byram. Think about this. Think about a potential pairing for a long time of right-handed shooting Cale Makar and left-handed shooting Bowen Byram and all the assets that they have with the Avalanche. Now they've added Brandon Saad, MacKinnon, Landeskog, Rantanen, Kadri, Donskoy, go on down the line, Samuel Girard, Alex Newhook on the way, and others. Now, if they had, a true number one type goalie, and they probably don't even need that guy. They need a consummate guy who's going to go out and make sure that he doesn't cost them games. That is a powerhouse in the making. And if they can manage all the math when all these young kids need to get paid, they have a chance to be like dynamite for a long time.
Well, you remember back in the day, I mean, Lou, you and I have walked the same path. Like all those, every NHL team's got scouts in this province, and I'm sure they do in Calgary. And, you know, I got those scouts saying to me all the time, how come you don't talk about the American teams? It's always the Canadian teams. Thank God for the internet now. And, right? Think back in the 80s and 90s. All they had to rely on the Leader Post and the hockey news. That's all they got for coverage of their teams, right? Now, but I...
You know what you used to have to do?
Huh?
You used to have to learn about hockey by doing something interesting.
Watch the game.
Watching it. Watch the games. What a concept. You can learn a lot by watching.
Yeah, of course. But you know who these scouts are. I'm not going to name them. I'm not going to out them on national television, but they're just like, talk about the American teams more. Because you look at
Those are the guys that watch the games. And yeah. Roddy, how lucky have people like you and I been? I've been saying this for a long time. Some of the most beautiful guys in hockey scout in Saskatchewan. Ross Mahoney, Al Murray, all the incredible people.
Bruce Franklin. Can't forget Bruce Franklin.
Bruce Franklin, right at the top of the list. So, listen, I've been saying this for a long time. You know, we have all achieved at some pretty decent hockey knowledge, and here's why. Because if you've cared to form some relationships, and if you've cherished the opportunity to learn from those types of people and all the different hockey people, that to me is what gets missed now. And I'm not pointing fingers, but to this day, every time I go to the rink and find myself in a conversation, you add some nuggets if you care to see the value in that.
People, face to face, Lou, that's what... That's what hurts because, you know, with the projections that I see, and I was talking with my wife about it last night, we're probably only around halfway through this thing. And it seems Yeah, and it seems like it's lasted 10 years, and we're only halfway through it. It's unbelievable. Before we do let you go, Lou, what is your take on the dub? Because Dregs dropped some interesting nuggets here yesterday. He liked the way the WHL did it. They announced a 24-game season, but that's it. Boy, has it set people off with speculation and questions.
Rod, here's what I'm not going to do. And we know, listen, I'm wearing a Western Hockey League, you know, I'll call it bunny hug because we're doing a Saskatchewan in-part show. It's a hoodie for everybody else in the world, and that's fine. I am not going to criticize anyone for trying their best to salvage what has been an incredibly difficult and trying time. So the minute you are so quick to criticize on what it should be or what it shouldn't be, take these lenses off and think about operating from the lens of the Western Hockey League, what that league and the CHL has been through, whether it's lawsuits, the pandemic, the changing of their business. Let's have a little patience and let's applaud people once and for all for trying to do the best with circumstances that change every 5 minutes. I applaud them. I hope for the kids, I hope for all the people I love and care about in that league that they can find their way to 24 games and make something out of it.
Well said, Lou. You always say it so well, and I've been telling the folks, just chill. They are literally doing their best, right? But
in this day and age, you want people to chill? Want perfect.
I know, but sometimes they will chill when you tell them for a little while, and then they go back to being over-the-top crazy. You get it. But, Lou, yeah, thanks for the time.
Put on somebody else's shoes, grab their glasses, and look through them through different lenses once in a while, and it's hard for everybody to do, including me, but just give it some thought. Okay, guys.
But there's zero empathy out there, unfortunately, right now, and it's hard to have people do that. Can you put up the comment from Greg Buchanan and Lloyd Minster watching Canada's Only Border City? He said something along the lines
of,
oh, he's the best, Bucky. Great to hear Peter on the upcoming season. His insight is so solid, even like his Stampede Wrestling insight. LOL. So on that note...
That's right, Greg. I want to thank you very kindly for tuning in, and if... Remps is out there, and Bobby Leonard, I still can't find my ring.
I'd like to say, let the good times roll, Lou. Let's do it again.
We will.
All right.
Okay.
Be well.
Take care, guys.
Peter Labardius is joining us from Calgary, Fan 960 Flames Radio color man. I think what we're going to do is take a timeout, and when we come back, we got a sports update, and then we'll be joined by the snowman of the morning, Brian Snow from North Carolina, with a little NFL talk. And our American friends, keep it coming on the Prairie Mobile text line, please. Biloxi Beach, Mississippi. We're on the air, dupes. We should plan a sports trip down there.
What are the sights? I got to start doing some research.
The beach. What more do you need?
Yeah.
You're a beach guy.
Love the beach.
We'll be right back. We are live daily on YouTube, Game Plus TV, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Just ahead of the snowman, I just want to say, I was telling the boys in the break here that for our American viewers, and not just the Americans, if you're watching on Game Plus TV, send us a text message, 306-840-8777. We want to hear from y'all. Let's get a little noise in here.
Let's go.
Sports update, the Raptors suffered their second straight one-point loss, falling on the road against the Portland Trailblazers 112-111 after C.J. McCollum hit a go-ahead jumper with 9.9 seconds to play in the game. Raptors fell against Golden State by a single point one night earlier. With a performance that was both surgical and explosive, number one Alabama won the college football playoff national championship game 52-24 against number 3 Ohio State. Tens of thousands took to the streets of Tuscaloosa, Alabama to celebrate the Tide's championship. They went undefeated at 13-0 to become national champion for the sixth time in the last 12 years under Nick Saban. The Vancouver Canucks were back on the ice Monday, the day after a false positive COVID-19 test shut down training camp. The team said in a release Sunday it canceled practice out of an abundance of caution due to potential exposure to COVID-19. And when I go back to the quick six show topics, what did I say earlier? It was, what did the video, if you saw it, of the tens of thousands of people roaming the streets of Tuscaloosa make you feel? Because it kind of makes me feel, why the hell are we shutting down all these facilities? Why are we having such a problem in sports when tens of thousands of people are roaming the streets with apparently no disastrous consequences? Why are we going through all this? That's all. That's what it makes me think. I'm not saying I'm right. It's what pops into my head. This sports update for Ballers Rec Room. They can handle all your food and fun needs. Visit their website at ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. Our Charlotte NFL correspondent is the Snowman. Brian Snow joins us today. Snowman in the morning, where it is still morning for some time out there, a few minutes anyways. How you doing, Snowman? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I am doing great, and I'm back, and I love being on the show. Thanks for having me.
We're glad to have you back, and you always got the hot takes. So I'm seeing some interesting hot takes coming out of the Natty last night, and that is, you know, the Crimson Tide rolled 52-24, and now people are saying that it's time to break up Alabama. They got too much of a monopoly on college football. Here's my question to you, Snowman. How did they create such a monopoly in 12 years under Nick Saban? And two, should it be broken up? Is it unfair, their dominance?
Let's see. Recruiting, scouting your opponents, knowing what you need to do. Remember, Ohio State beat them in 2015, so there's a revenge factor also. And, oh, yeah, there's this guy called Nick Saban who knows what the hell he's doing. Break up Alabama? No. Beat Alabama? Yes. That can happen. It has happened. You want to end it's like Golden State. You want to end the dynasty? Here's a novel concept. Beat them.
Nice point. See, he's bringing the fire today. At 68-ish years old, the one thing Nick Saban hasn't done is have NFL success. Is that window closed?
He doesn't need it.
Well, I was going to say, do you think he lays awake at night thinking, dagnabbit, I never won in the NFL, or does he care?
Hell no, he doesn't care. He's got his dynasty. He's got Alabama. He's got people dancing in the streets in Tuscaloosa. And he's got everyone in Alabama spoiled because of this success. And I say, good. Keep it going. You got your success, Nick Saban. Stay where you're at.
I like it. I like it. Are we writing these down?
Yeah.
All the hot takes. Let it snow. Let it snow. Let it snow. Your take on Doug Peterson being let go, Brian? Seems like a real clown show there in Philly.
That would be a horrible understatement. After Philadelphia won the Super Bowl, they've done nothing like you describe what the Patriots have done this year, fall off of a cliff. They've had a couple of division titles when they shouldn't have won, including last year. Peterson needed to go, and Peterson didn't manage the Carson Wentz situation well at all.
It's interesting that you say that he needed to go, because you got a coach that did win their first Super Bowl in franchise history with what looks like an overrated quarterback. I mean, yep. Is Peterson gone because of the bad contract given to the quarterback? How do you blame the coach for that?
Well, you got to blame the organization for the bad contract to a quarterback that's now severely overrated. Unfortunately, Peterson, in a way, because of Carson Wentz, is made out to be a scapegoat. But at the same time, if it's the same kind of non-success over and over and over again, eventually they're going to look at Peterson.
I want to just chime in with some viewer comments. Snowman, you know how much we love that. Guys, can you put it up from John Heaps? I agree, Rod. Thousands at Costco daily with masks. Why no WHL with 50% fans with masks? Same with riders. I haven't heard of any serious issues at Costco, just as an example. Yeah, I don't get why they're punishing sports. Costco's open because you need food. Well, we need entertainment, too. And I've kind of bit my lip. I've been threatened and warned, by the way, for going a little too far down this road. But I just see the people storming the streets of Tuscaloosa last night. Not in a riot, away. They were partying, you know?
Yeah,
Snowman,
it's a celebration.
It was a celebration, but I'm just saying if they can do it, why is this allowed to wreak havoc on pro and amateur sport? I don't know. I don't understand. What's the COVID climate where you're living, man, in terms of lockdowns, restrictions, and mood of people?
I have a game Friday night to do play-by-play for. I am so elated to do that because I haven't called a game since September or top of October. My wife came with me. So they're slowly easing their way up. But the trick is this year, as I found out during my research, they have to have the kids wear the masks. You know, they're taking all kinds of safety precautions, which I totally understand. But at the same time, sports is happening, period.
Yeah, good. Well, that's what I hear, that they're rolling. In most states, you wouldn't even know that COVID was a thing. Whereas here in Canada, right, there's no sports, you know, and it's people are getting tired of it. In real time, with Costamaricus watching, they say, good morning, friends. Great show so far. Loving the fire. I read that, and that means like they're expecting it to go downhill from here. Great show so far. As Darren said to me this morning, I may take things a little too defensively from time to time. To this weekend's NFL game, Snowman, our poll question today for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center is, which is your featured game? They are, as you know, Rams-Packers, Ravens-Bills, Browns-Chiefs, Buccaneers-Saints. What's the game that you're most interested in?
Browns and Chiefs. A couple of young guns going at it. Baker Mayfield versus Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in New Orleans. It's Brady Breeze part three. And everybody's saying, oh, good Lord, the Buccaneers are actually going to compete. No, they're not. I've said it at the top of the year. I said it on this program, and the Buccaneers have still yet to solve one of the most noble concepts of football. And Dupes, you know this very well with Tennessee. Where the hell is the Buccaneers' running game? Consistent running game. And what's going to happen this Sunday in New Orleans is what happened in week one. They're going to get punched in the mouth hard.
Hey.
That's Tom Brady you're talking about.
Leonard Fournette, Rojo, you want to put a lunch on this? You want to put some smack down? You're putting your balls on the table here, Snowman.
Just a moment. There's one set. There's two set. And there's my snack. You're on.
You're on. I like it. Robin in Prince Albert says Canada-U.S. border closed until February 21st. Is that breaking news today, or did we know that? I'm just assuming that it's closed forever until this is declared over. Darnell Theris there from Rockstar Supply Chains. He says things were a mess in Detroit. Things were a mess in Philly. I'm okay not being able to watch sports in person. LOL, that's a good point. And by the way, you had your time, Darnell. yes or no before we let you go, Snowman. John Schmeiser in Kansas City is watching. Question for the Snowman. Should Andy Reid be getting some consideration for Coach of the Year? He's rarely mentioned in the conversation.
Yes. How can you not get consideration for Coach of the Year when you have a team that's the defending world champions in the Kansas City Chiefs? You navigate through a pandemic. people want to take Patrick Mahomes off of the MVP table and say, oh, he didn't do much. Oh, really? He won 14 games. I'd say that's doing something.
Yeah, well, the one thing about the NFL, save for maybe Philly, they're all great coaches, every one of them. They wouldn't have got there if they weren't great coaches. And from a sentimental aspect, for me, it might be Riverboat Ron Rivera. Snowman, we'll let you go. The fans love you, as always. We're going to turn it over to Viewer Takeover next. But stay safe down there, my friend. Let's do it again soon here. Let's before Super Bowl, hopefully.
Very, very soon. Thank you, guys. I love you guys very, very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, same here. Love you too, pal. Follow this guy, Snowman in the Morning. Look him up on social media. We'll be right back. You're watching the RP Show daily on YouTube Live, Game Plus TV, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
All right, welcome back, everybody, into the Viewer Takeover segment. They've stolen my monitor here, so I'm not totally sure what time you guys need me out, but you'll let me know. You'll let me know. Metal Shingle Guy writes in, to kick off the Viewer Takeover segment, he says, can the Chiefs stop the run? Well, we're going to find out in a very big game on the weekend against the Cleveland Browns. I got, you know, bonus points here, Dupes. One of the bonus points was Chase Claypool saying the Browns will get clapped this weekend. Did you see that? Now everybody's all mad about that, and they're saying this guy's a punk.
He's confident. Apparently that's not okay.
Chase Claypool? He's sour grapes.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Well, a little bit. But that's the Steelers, the whole team, right? I mean, Juju dancing. There was a play when they were down, you know, four touchdowns, and Juju's dancing as he's walking up to the line. I saw that. I'm like, what are you doing?
I know a lot of guys like that. Chris Bird watching in Toronto. He says, I'm very happy that the NHL is starting up and looking forward to what the Leafs can do. Hopefully all hockey fans will show some love for the NWHL as they start their bubble on January 23rd. Playoffs to be broadcast on NBC Sports. See, now everybody's writing in like crazy, and I appreciate that. We're going to have to carry over some of those comments into hour two because Alan Hordell was watching, and he threw a comment out about Gary Bettman saying how the owners in the NHL are going to lose more money by playing than not playing. There it is. I want hockey and football in Canada, but NHL commish said they will lose millions. Can they afford that? CFL sure can't in their league. I kind of just want to turn this over to you because you're more the business guy than me. Then if we're dancing this dance with the CFL announcing all these player restructuring contracts and so forth, it's not that. Go ahead. Thank you. Da-da-da. Stage left, The Rock. What are they playing or not? What are we dancing this dance for?
I know.
Okay, if we really believe that this isn't going to be over, we're only halfway through the pandemic, then come out and say we're not playing then. Come out and say it.
Well, they have to have a plan to play with no fans. Otherwise, you're just waiting for a vaccine. You know how to operate a season. You know how to play. It's just a matter of...
Do they?
You need a vaccine. Well, they've done it for years and years. If they're only as normal. Right. If that's the only option is to get a vaccine and play as normal with fans in the stands, then sit back and wait. Go to the spa. Hang out, right?
Grab a Snickers bar.
Yeah, we don't need to pay you to be in these positions running teams and leagues if that's the only play. Tell us what the plan is to play with no fans. We hope there's a vaccine, but here's what we can do. Or come out and say, look, we're not the NFL. If we will lose too much money and we can't afford it, so please stay with us. I think we'd feel sympathetic.
Would we?
I think so. Honesty is the key.
Boy, do we have a lot of things to come into hot in hour two.
Yeah.
Which will be hour one on Game Plus. So thank you to Brian Snow and Peter Labardius. We had fire in hour one. Rod Black coming up in hour two. Join us on YouTube Live, Facebook, all the rest, or come on over to National TV and we'll see you on Game Plus. No laughing on the sponsor's couch. This is the media. We're not supposed to have fun.
Yeah, exactly.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.